Is this your theme song?
It's one of them. This is the song that, you know, like you always say, something was made for you, right? Your theme song was made specifically for you.
Yeah, we branded it that way on purpose, right, me and my production company.
Right, so you lie to the people. But see, ultimately, Alice in Chains said, you know what? We need to make a song about Chris Russell.
Yeah.
Because one day, Chris Russell is going to say, you know what? I'm the Rooster. And when they created this song, Rooster, Alice in Chains, they said, we're visionaries.
Yeah.
We can see the future. We know there's going to be a loudmouth talk show host that knows a little something, something. In Washington, D.C.
And
occasionally on a national level, we're going to create a great song for him.
Well,
I mean,
glad we didn't get to it.
Didn't get to it. What do you think's been playing?
We didn't get to the part.
Well, that's because Matt played the long ballady part.
Because he wanted to. It was like him. That's a tease is what we call that.
I mean, it's still the same damn song.
Knows what you're talking about now at this point.
So you'll laugh about this, right? My son, Tyler, who you're kind enough to spend a little time with, and he loves you, and he calls you Manel and all that stuff. So occasionally, like, you know, when I call him, he'll just answer. He goes, here comes the rooster.
That would get a pop out of me.
And that's his ringtone, by the way.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, baby. We welcome you back. Hour number two. Good to have you with us. So big picture wise, again, how do they get the most bang for their buck? I don't know if we ever really got a definitive answer from you other than it could change, what have you. Is there one thing that you would say is going to flip around Jonathan Allen and DeRon Payne more than anything else? And if that's even
alignment. Alignment, okay. More creativity with their usage.
More games, more twists, more stunts.
Stunts, loops.
Loops, yeah. Right? Put it on a t-shirt.
But in reality, like, yes, I would love to. I haven't looked at, does GSIS have those numbers in terms of alignment? I would love to know their alignment throughout the first 2 weeks because it feels like primarily.
PFF does. I'll show you how to access it on PFF.
Because I would like to see them lined up more in that outside shade of the guard, inside of the tackle spot. I would like to see them stand up. But it goes back to what we were saying. I think Johnny Newton is the piece that allows that to happen more because it gives you another serviceable option on the interior.
And I think we're kind of aligned in the same and I promise we didn't like I just told you that that's where I was leaning but we were already kind of thinking the same thing, right? Like, you can't just make them snap your fingers. See, fans out there and a lot of media think coaching can just walk in, land on planet Earth, snap their fingers, and pre-program the robot to make them better. Dave Canales wasn't able to do that with Bryce Young, despite all your love and professed love for Dave Canales.
Yeah, I do love
Dave Canales saved Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield didn't. Baker Mayfield was saved by Dave Canales. He's going to go to Carolina and fix Bryce Young. Well, we see how that didn't work. Anyway, coaches can't do that. So what you can do is creatively, again, scheme and align. Now, our guy Ben Conti, at Fat Poet 10, who's very smart, said, I was just saying they should run some sort of 3-3-5 using Luvu or Jamin as the additional pass rusher coming from a depth position, not as an end line rusher. I think you can certainly do.
They can't cover.
That the problem is that
they can't cover. Right. That's the issue. You're gonna have to have flat responsibilities. You're gonna have to carry number threes maybe in that situation. Like, they're not able to do that.
A lot of times teams are now running, and I think what this team is doing is a 4-2-5, right?
Right.
You know, so I mean, you're gonna be a nickel 70%+ of the
personnel
time
to be able to do that. And you keep on pushing my button to let me off the hook about a certain pacifist on this defense walks around with a big stick. But,
I know where this is heading. So why don't we head there right now?
We have to get to the calls. We got to get to our calls.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we run through a couple of these calls here and see if we can get some answers to how to get the most bang for the buck out of Jonathan Allen and DeRon Payne. Let's get to Aaron in Suitland in the leadoff spot. What up, Aaron?
Hey, Ron. What's up, fellas? Listen, I don't know everything. I don't profess to know everything.
Yes, you
but
do,
this
man.
Is what I know. Mm-hmm. We need to blow it up. We need to blow it up, and we need to get draft picks. You know, here's a question I want to present to you all. Name how many players would you keep that was on this team less than two games this year? And then the next question is, how many players would you keep that's played at least two games this year? I don't care about the analyticals and all that crap, because guess what? The analyticals say that we have an all-pro kicker because he made seven field goals. I'm basing what I'm saying on results. McLaurin is not a number one. God bless him, he got number one pay. Deron and Payne, they don't make enough difference in the game. Mm-hmm. God bless them because they got paid.
But let me ask you, Aaron, just for the purposes of our argument, are you saying that because Deron and John got paid and are making huge money, that you would move on from both of them right now?
Or is
that what you're saying?
Absolutely, and I'm basing it off of a couple of factors. The one is what they produce. Number two is, I believe Allen contract is coming up next year. Well, we're going to pay him more money based off of his production.
There's no chance Jonathan Allen is getting another big time contract.
No, not here.
Exactly. So therefore, while there's still value for them in the league, we need to get rid of them so we can get as many picks so we can find
Aaron, I hear
appreciate
that, but
the call,
I think that's so premature. We knew this would come up because you guys are absolutely space cadets out there. It's too soon to say that, and we mentioned this a moment ago. We're 2 weeks into the season, and for this to be coming from me, talk about growth.
I know, Mr. Impatience, Mr. Hitstick over
here. We're 2 weeks into the season.
Mr. Kid, take a cattle prod and put up everybody's ass.
The narrative.
Wait till you see what's coming here in just a little bit, boys and girls.
The narrative defensively could be so much different 4 or 5 weeks from now, even 2, 3 weeks from now. Yeah. So to be wanting to trade guys at this point, I think is premature. But I do think the logic is accurate from Aaron. They have the three highest paid players on their team outside of who is Terry, John, and Deron.
No,
it's
Terry, John, and
you're, and that's the overall problem I think right now with what they have. But you inherited this, so it's now going to be on them moving forward to make those tough decisions. But you're simply not getting enough out of your three highest paid players. You're just not. And at defensive tackle with John and Deron, They're not anywhere near the biggest problem with this defense. So let's get that out of the way. I don't think they're the biggest, nowhere near
they
close.
They are a issue.
It's an issue because a lot of what you were expecting defensively revolved around them wreaking havoc, and they're not. But ultimately, they're not the biggest problem. I don't think there is one singular big picture issue. They don't do anything well right now defensively. That's where I'm at with the group. I don't think they do anything well. And they don't do the fundamentals well. Rushing the passer.
Right, so when I ask, and I agree with you, when I ask, is there one problem to fix, or is there many more? This is where I always am and where I struggle. If there's one problem to fix, it's a lot easier to attack that, trades, infusion, what have you. Hey, it'll get better. Oh, tackling. It'll get better as they get more oil running through the engine. There's six problems to fix right now on this defense, quite honestly.
At every level.
You know, and to your point, Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne are an issue. I don't know if they're a problem. Does that make sense?
Exactly. I agree 100%. But at the same time, them playing up to their salary would mitigate a lot of the other issues.
That's fair. Bad tackling, bad angles. And I know one thing that's been eaten away at you, and listen, I saw it live, obviously, on Sunday because a lot of it was coming downhill at me. The bottom line is, you know, Michael Davis got benched because he could not tackle Malik Nabers, period.
Yes.
Okay, we all understand that. Malik Nabers is also a stud. Devin Singletary is not a stud. And Jeremy Chinn, and to your credit, you were way out on Jeremy Chinn last week, never mind this week, when it was even worse this week. Now, you were also out on Bobby Wagner, who played a pretty darn good game and was the highest graded defender, but neither here nor there. You were way out on Jeremy Chinn after 1 week, and it only got more magnified this week. Jeremy Chinn missed, I think, I believe the number
but this
that
is
I, not,
this is from preseason two with Jim.
Okay.
And the joint practice. It's been all summer for me.
But they all – coaches always have said to me, and I think other members of the media, it is the hardest to judge running backs and safeties
in camp.
In training camp because you don't tackle.
Exactly. And I think that's the one area that, like, he's supposed to really thrive at. Now, if you go to PFF, there's some numbers that suggest he's doing pretty well in coverage, which I'm just now looking at that as I walked in the building, and it's kind of shifted my perspective on him a little bit. But at the end of the day, if you are going to be a box safety, essentially, is what he has been asked to do, and that is his role as that, like, big nickel at times, you got to be able to tackle. But the whole thing is, it's not just him. It's not just him. It's the entire – Mikey Sainristil still has struggled with run fits and missed tackles. Chin has done it. Percy Butler has missed tackles. It's all of them. So, to me, it is – you hope – the key word is hope – that, as you said, more oil runs through the engine. It gets better. But with Chin, at least in my opinion, I don't think he's got the heart to play the run.
PFF has him charted as missing four tackles.
Yeah.
When you say the heart, I was like, you said this to me yesterday on the way home, and I thought, it's probably Linnell and just bluster and just,
yeah,
you know,
bravado,
whatever.
Right? Yeah.
Youngest in charge, BS. And then I went and watched one play, and I don't remember, I think it was midway through the third quarter, Singletary up the middle, makes a little bit of cut. Jeremy Chin comes in, streaming right at him. I mean, it's a head-on car collision.
He goes like this.
And Jeremy Chin lowers his head, and he ducks out of the way, and Devin Singletary goes whiffing right by him. And it looks like, not like an ole, kind of like with the Matador and all that stuff, like
damn
like this.
Close, though.
But, I mean, it looked like Jeremy Chin, who has struggled with injuries and met much of the reason why he was let go from Carolina.
For sure.
It almost looked like Jeremy Chin was like, nah, dog, not for me.
Mm-mm, exactly.
You know, and listen, if you're a safety. If you're a safety and you're Ed Reed or you're Earl Thomas in their prime, or if you're Ronnie Lott, you can get away with some of that crap. If you're Jeremy Chin and you're on a one-year contract
and you have
the corners that are surrounding you, you cannot do what he has done.
He's 6'3", 225.
I know.
He should be coming down trying to baptize folks, yet he's passive. And that can't. You want to talk about arriving violently and all the cute ass sayings that you put on T-shirts and around the building? You got to have your starters exemplify that.
It's so funny when Mr. T-shirt slogan makes fun of the organization that the T-shirt that the T-shirt slogans are just a mess.
I mean, for real though, with Chin,
anywhere, anytime, any place.
Jeremy Chin is what we like to call. His future in Washington may already be sold.
Yeah.
Jeremy Chin duck smoke is the best way that I could put it. I think anybody out there that is of the age of the youngest in charge, you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's to the point where, hey, and guess who just followed me back, by the way, on X?
Derek Forrest's daddy?
He did.
Oh,
just
God.
Followed me back. He hadn't been following me the whole time.
I got the notification last night. I thought he was following
He
you.
Wasn't. He wasn't,
oh,
apparently.
Okay.
So I got the notification
Derek Forrest's daddy
last
probably
night.
Doesn't like me because I've already been honest about that.
You're being
that.
Honest, but you daddy ain't making a whole
just,
lot of sense.
Daddy should just stay out of Stay to
the
himself.
Daddy's right, though.
Got Cam Curl in trouble. Make no mistake about it. Daddy Derek should just shut up. Just pipe down.
Daddy Derek, baby Derek should be on the field. How about that? Because he's better than Jeremy Chin.
Guess what? If Derek Forrest is playing well during practice, there's absolutely no reason why he shouldn't be on the field.
You can't judge his tackling in practice.
I understand that.
How many more missed tackles
you
do we have to watch Jeremy Chin miss?
But you know Dan Quinn.
Chris, I'm
Joe
sorry.
Joe Witt and Jason Simmons can at least say, look, hey, Jeremy Chin has missed four tackles. That's, you know, an average of two a game. I think it was three on Sunday, one in Tampa. But it's the technique. It's the will. It's the effort. It's the hustle. It's the this. And this is a big problem for us. We've got to do something. So let's try and give somebody who's showing us in practice that he can tackle the hell out of the dummy. Or form, technique, tackle, the
it
right way.
It don't matter
keep
about
his
no form.
Up.
Chris, that's where you're not getting it. You either want to tackle or you don't. I don't think he wants
to
tackle,
so there's no technique
Chris.
To tackling?
You can have the best technique possible. If you don't come in there with bad intentions,
no, I agree.
You're
that's,
not going to make
I
the
agree.
Tackle,
that's
Chris.
Part of it.
It is a mentality
I agree,
piece.
But you have to have proper technique. You
a
can
lot
have,
of the biggest
you
hits
have
don't
all the,
come from
you
proper
can have
technique.
All, I don't care about big hits. I care about bringing the guy down.
Which he doesn't do.
I understand that because he's got bad technique.
Why does he have bad technique?
Because
he's scared.
Well,
Chris.
Maybe. Maybe we're both
hit.
Right.
He doesn't want to tackle. So he doesn't have that mentality,
are you
man.
Saying tackling is the number one problem on this defense?
Yes.
Or are you saying
yes.
that
you
that is just
stop the
one
run
of the big problems?
If you can't stop the run consistently, which they can't, and you can't tackle, what the hell? How do you stop teams?
Do you think stopping the run is more of a schematic issue or an execution issue?
Execution.
I agree with you.
I think, it's an
I think some
issue.
Of it is schematic and guys being out of gaps and lanes and
Chris,
all that. I think this is, I think that like time and time and time and time again, I said it on Infinity on Sunday. I said it on Twitter. I said, if this team stops missing tackles, and I mean, most of it was, again, Jeremy Chinn and also Michael Davis, granted, against Malik Nabers. If this team just stops missing tackles, they're going to get some stops.
Hopefully, but the numbers aren't horrible. They're 18th in opponent yards per rush attempt. They're 16th in opponent rushing yards per game. The numbers do not speak to how
well, they also
bad
didn't play a very good running attack in Tampa.
They haven't seen one yet.
Yeah.
They haven't because the Giants
I mean,
don't
the
have
Giants
one either.
Giants are fine, but they're not what you would describe as great.
They don't have one either. Let me tell you this. If you're going to not tackle, the next 2 weeks are going to be a real pain in the ass
yeah.
for you.
Yeah. Well,
with Arizona and Cincinnati.
I would say this. Cincinnati not having Joe Mixon helps.
Yes,
okay.
But are you is Zach Moss going to look like the second coming of Cedric
well,
Benson?
If he does, then you officially know this isn't just a
Cedric
2 week
Benson,
problem.
This is a
big issue. I already think it's a big issue, but I'm willing to say this. I've been around plenty of teams, and I've seen plenty of teams that
better,
were horrible tackling first week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the season, and all of a sudden they get better, and they get better because as you can do it more in games
well,
and you're in pads, you know, generally one time a week during the practice
this?
Week, you can get better and better and better.
Or you get tired of getting chewed out in the film
well,
room.
Well, that too.
Because if they're not circling his ass and putting the red dot on him, they're not doing it right.
That too.
Because it's embarrassing. It makes your defense look soft. It does.
Is there one fix or is there too many things to fix about the Commanders' defense? Let's get to Jackie and Frederick next up. Jackie, how are you?
Hey, Jackie. Chris. Hey, Linnell.
What's up, Jackie?
So, Linnell, just let me finish before y'all cut me off.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yep. Linnell, nobody is a Space Cadet fan. We're seeing what we see. And if Jonathan Allen and DeRon Payne can't live up to their contract, then by trading deadline, yes, they have to go. I thought I was going to have to put a missing picture on a milk carton for DeRon Payne because after he got his contract, that Bama went missing. We ain't seen him. Are they on the field? And I ain't trying to listen.
Now you being
I'm,
real.
I'm not by no means trying to be funny. But my thing is, why do we have to keep waiting to see if they're going to get better? We watched it last year. They didn't do anything, and the same thing is happening now. So, just like Chris said, let's try to get some draft. I'm technically, if this is going to be a rebuilding season, get them out of here. There's somebody in there who really wants to play. Oh, and Linnell,
uh-huh.
Yes, McLaurin might not be a true number one receiver, but when you watch the game on TV and then you watch it in person, and I like to do both when I get home from the game,
mm-hmm.
He's been open. We can't help it if the quarterback is going to go to a different read or just not come to him at all. He's getting open, so I need people to stop saying he's not getting open. He's getting open. And the sad part is Jaden Daniels missed 2 touchdowns on Luke McCaffrey because nobody feels like Luke McCaffrey is a threat. So guess what? He was wide open twice and would have been in the end zone.
There's some numbers
elsewhere.
Out there.
We're
going to
get into that, Jackie. That's,
guy,
a, that's
Nick
a good point.
Your PFF
yeah.
Look, put out some numbers. Yeah.
Thanks for taking
ago.
My call,
thank
fellas.
You, Jackie,
and Linnell, you know how I get.
Jackie,
thank
I appreciate
you. I like the passion and I like the fire and I like that Jackie went directly after you, Linnell.
Because she knows what she's talking about, though. And I think she said something true. Watching the game from your level, fans level, is different than watching the TV copy.
Oh, there is no doubt.
You're getting
even
that
from
aerial,
the press box,
you're getting
for
that
God
aerial
sakes.
View.
Yeah.
But there are some numbers on Luke McCaffrey and how often he's getting open. We'll get to that.
Let's
too.
Save those. Let's yeah. save those when we get into the wide receiver, which we will after 2:30. 301-230-0980. We've got to take a quick timeout. We'll do a final round of calls on the defense, and then we'll get into Terry McLaurin, the wide receiver group, after 2:30 on the Team 980. And we're always live and free on the Odyssey app. All right, let's get a final round of calls on the defense and John Allen and Daron Payne. There isn't just one fix. Big picture, there is not one fix. Now, better tackling would go a long way to solving a lot of their problems. I heard Coach Sheehan a couple of times this week say their run defense was terrible, and he's right. Their run defense was terrible, A, because of some bad fits, no doubt. Mostly because they're tackling. If they can fix their tackling, they're going to get better stopping the run. If they can get better stopping the run because of better tackling, they're going to be better defending against the pass because teams won't be able to use play action as effectively anymore. And little turnaround option hook routes like Malik Nabers was running all day against Michael Davis is not going to turn into from a 7-yard pass and catch into a 15-yard or an 18-yard or a 20-yard gain because you tackle so miserably, so poorly.
And look at this.
That the coaching staff has no choice but to get you off the field.
That's also an issue. This is like kind of secondary. Carlos Watkins, did we cut him?
Well, he was up on Sunday. Did they release
Dallas
him?
Dallas just signed him back.
Well, he was on the practice squad. He was elevated. So they could have signed him to the 53 because he was only on the practice squad. They signed Nick Ballore from the practice squad to the actual 53. They did not promote. So Carlos Watkins is gone?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, that makes... I think he came from there, wasn't he?
Yeah, so that
makes some sense, even though it's a different defensive coordinator. All right, let's get Stevie Ray in Baltimore. What up, Stevie Ray?
What's
how are you?
On?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's going on, Stevie Ray?
I'm happy to see Linnell didn't commit Harry Carey.
Hey, Stevie Ray, hang on a second. We're going to have to put you on hold and get you in a better cell area because your phone is like doing the googly moogly stuff. Let's get to John in Falls Church next up on the Team 980. Johnny, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, John. What's going on?
This is sort of a obvious statement, but I agree with one of the first callers who just said there's just not a lot of talent. Blowing it up is hard to do, but what are two defensive tackles supposed to do in a game where they can just throw it immediately and put it right over the middle without any real consequences for the other team? I mean, Bobby Wagner's helped a tiny bit, but...
Let me just ask you. I mean, you're talking about a quick passing game, which a lot of teams employ, including the Commanders, by the way. So that means that interior defensive tackles really aren't allowed to do much of anything. Well, the same could be said, arguably, for defensive ends or what have you, right? I mean, it's part of playing offense, part of playing defense versus a modern day offense. But Linnell just said one thing. Get your hands up, which the Giants did a couple of times on horizontal screens and the horizontal passing attack of the Commanders and Jaden Daniels the other day. If you get your hands up, if you disrupt, if you push back people, you can alter any, I guess... Maybe the first read isn't there, and then all of a sudden they've got to go to the second or the third read, right? Which is ideally the goal of what you're trying to create. So that's where it gives them a chance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It just, I kind of agree with the other person, and I don't remember the caller's name, but just, blowing it up sounds dramatic, but I think there's another year that needs to go into having high draft picks and... letting some of these salaries fall off the books and all that stuff before this defense can start looking good again.
Well, I would say this.
You already have cap space, first of all. So, making your roster worse, it's no guarantee 2 weeks from now. John Allen can go out and dominate against Cincinnati on Monday night. And then what? Daron Payne can go out and dominate 2 weeks from now against Arizona, and then what? Why at that point you're getting rid of good talent? I get the idea of them not their play not matching the salaries to this point.
Yeah.
But to jump to trading them without giving them more time, in my opinion, to play better.
No, I would say this. There's a much greater chance in my eyes that Jonathan Allen goes before Daron Payne.
Deron's the better player.
Not only that, but Deron's biggest problem is Deron hasn't been consistent in his NFL career. There was one guy that was screaming about that before his big breakout, 11 and a half, and that was the only year he's been consistent, quite honestly. Like last year, if you look at it, he started out a house on fire weeks 1 and 2. Daron Payne was kicking ass and taking names. Yeah. And then basically, even before they traded Montez Sweat and Chase Young, he was kind of missing in action for a couple of games. I think we lost John. Thank you, John. Let's try Stevie Ray in Baltimore again here. Stevie Ray, we got you back.
I am back. Can you hear me now?
It still doesn't sound good there, Stevie Ray. We're going to have to do something about the cell phone.
Chris,
sorry.
What does it say on the call logger next to Stevie
Probably
Ray?
Probably says don't answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't read that. I apologize. My bad. That's on me. I didn't see the note that Matt put. My bad.
I don't even have the call logger.
Well, I'm sorry.
Call screen. And
you don't even have your name on the show.
Wow.
Which I know is a problem for some people.
Can we go to break and save me the embarrassment? Come on. Tell us what's trending.
Here's what's trending.
Not Chris Russell.
A Woj bomb no more. ESPN's NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, who basically broke every story, is retiring from ESPN and therefore NBA coverage and joining his alma mater, St. Bonaventure, the Bonnies, in little old Olean, New York. He's going to become the general manager of the men's basketball program. Again, he is an alumnus and he has been very involved in there. But how about that? ESPN losing their top NBA newsbreaker. We will see who they choose to fill in that. Meanwhile, the Washington Mystics with a loss at home last night. They are tied for the 8th and final playoff seed, and they host Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever tomorrow night at Capital One Arena. They need some help and a win, and they might be able to get into the playoffs as that final seed, and they would face the New York Liberty, who again beat them last night. The WNBA adding a 15th franchise with the return of Portland. And Eli Manning is at the top of first-time Hall of Fame nominees for the class of 2025. The former Giants quarterback won 2 Super Bowls, defeating Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots. In both, he joins Luke Kuechly, Terrell Suggs, Adam Vinatieri as all first-time nominees for next year's class in Canton, Ohio. And that's what's trending. Linnell was sitting Indian style in the middle of the bullpen, just doing whatever it was that he was doing. So I was looking at him like he was crazy, and he had 18 heads. And he didn't understand why I was looking at him so weird. And then he starts ranting about how this is his damn bullpen, his damn floor, his damn office. Turn on your microphone. Oh, wait a second. I guess you can. It's not your damn microphone, huh?
Am I being heard again?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Poor Matty.
No, because I am a frequent contributor over on our other station, 106.7 The Fan. I have to split my time evenly.
Well, you don't have to split your time evenly. You could actually be over here.
I choose to because I'm a good teammate, and I go and check up on my other teammates.
You're a good teammate?
I think I'm the best teammate, I would say.
You're like Bryce Harper and Jonathan Papelbon. That's what you are.
No, I'm more
like...
Do
you even know that reference or no?
You think I don't pay attention
well,
to...
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
DC sports history.
If it's baseball, I don't know how much you even pay attention.
The choke out heard around the world. No, it's hockey I pay attention to. Not baseball.
All right, hockey and then baseball you pay like what? A little morsel of attention to?
I know who the best team in baseball is. I know who the best player in baseball is. I know Shohei Ohtani, 48 for 48.
Ooh, very nice.
48 and 48. The best team in baseball for a good chunk of the season was the Philadelphia Phillies. I think the Dodgers are now in that mix. The Yankees are in that mix.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. October will settle it all.
It will. But
you know a little something.
I'm a sports analyst of all types, Chris Russell.
I thought you were going to say you're a sports savant.
I mean, that'd be a stretch to say a savant in every sport, but baseball, I pay attention to baseball. All right. College football, everything you want, I got for you.
I just want to make sure. All right, I did want to steer the conversation a different way. It's already come up a couple of times, but Terry McLaurin and
yeah, you
the
all
wide
get into
receiver
a tizzy
group.
About Terry. Like, no one can say anything bad about him, or else you're going to punch us in the face.
Slow down. Before we get to the rest of the receiver room and what might be happening there, because I think there are some good things happening there. I did want to bring this up. I heard the beginning of Coach Sheehan's show this morning, and he got an email, and you know,
from who?
I don't know, from some guy,
from a fan,
and he just, you know, basically read the email, and he said that it's Cliff Kingsbury's fault. Essentially, the nuts and bolts of the email was it's Cliff Kingsbury's fault as to why Terry McLaurin has not gotten untracked. And, you know, he used basically the Malik Nabers comparison. Look at Malik Nabers. He had 18 targets. He had 10 catches. He had this. He had that. He was open all day. He was this. He was that. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, and Kevin sort of pointed out some of this stuff, and maybe he pointed it out more specifically, but I was just sitting to myself thinking, does this guy understand, not Kevin, does this guy understand that Malik Nabers was the number 6 overall pick?
Right.
And Terry McLaurin was a third round pick 6 years ago and wasn't even considered a wide receiver prospect. He was considered by many as the best special teams player in the draft that year in 2019.
Yeah.
He was not even considered a low-level wide receiver prospect. And yet, people around here, and maybe this is an over-analyzation of the fan base.
It's not. It's what people, it's the general reaction that you get whenever he's brought up.
People around here think he should be treated the same as Tyreek Hill or Devontae Adams or Justin Jefferson
and the main
or even Malik Nabers.
Quarterback. Yeah, dad, quarterback.
Right, exactly.
And screw all of that. Let's just be real about what Terry McLaurin is at this point. Terry McLaurin, first of all, it's not Cliff's fault in terms of why the production's not there. And Jackie said it, and I agree with her. He's gotten open. It's not as if he's not getting open. There are the ancillary pieces of playing the wide receiver position that, in my opinion, he's not doing well right now. And it's not just him. It's the entire receiving corps. And it drives me nuts because if you knew you were running this type of offense, get the type of personnel in here that fits what you want to do. And I think Terry, they thought was a part of it, or thought has the skill set to do that. I think he does too. The first 2 weeks, though, he hadn't blocked worth a damn in the run game, in the screen game. He hasn't broken any tackles. He's not doing anything to stand out. Now, some can say, well, that's because Jade missed him on the deep ball. If that gets completed, then the whole narrative about Terry through the first 2 weeks is different. I agree with that. But all in all, big picture, when you have, what is it, the third largest cap hit on this team?
No, it's the top.
The top cap hit on this football team. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Deron and John. I expect more. And it's not just about him as a wide receiver catching passes. Why am I watching screens get blown up because you're not blocking?
All right.
Why, you know?
So before we
it's everybody
we
ex- though, so I'm not
before
trying to
we expand to everybody, this is at first about Terry. Let me give you some data, okay? Just for instance. To your point, as you run blocking great. Now, again, run blocking isn't blocking out on a screen to De'Ami Brown and Terry's on the same side and Terry can spring a block and you can turn a 4-yard gain into an 8-yard gain. But it just gives you a little bit of perspective. As a run blocking grade versus via PFF, he has a 29.8 overall out of 100.
That's terrible.
Which is awful. Okay, again, that is not everything, but it is something, okay? And whether you can, you know, pick and whatever, here's the bottom line. Terry McLaurin is on this football team, A, because he's a leader, B, because he's a good dude, but he was chosen to be on this team, and Jahan Dotson was chosen to be shipped out because of little things like this, blocking on the perimeter, run blocking. Also, again, to your point, screen blocking, quick passing game, horizontal passing game blocking. Again, Not that he's expected to do everything, not that he's the only one, but that is part of what they are looking for from their wide receivers. The bigger issue for me, and this is just me, okay? The bigger issue for me is that when Terry McLaurin gets the ball on quick passes like he did on the first play of the game and like he did on the first play of a series in the third quarter the other day, and the first play of the game Sunday against the Giants, he was lined up on the right side, which he had only done once in week one. So I took that as a positive. I don't think they ran motion on it, but that was another issue for Cliff Kingsbury in week one. But they targeted Terry. Instead of waiting until 8.5 minutes left to go in the second quarter, they targeted and got a completion to Terry on the very first play from scrimmage. Unfortunately, it was blown up for a 2-yard loss because Luke McCaffrey did not sustain his block. No. Now, again, we will get more into that. That's part of the overall big picture. But my point is, on the next one, which again was, I want to say, 7 minutes or so roughly in the third quarter, first play of the series, Terry McLaurin did not have somebody to pick up a free attacking linebacker, and he got absolutely smashed, and he lost yardage again. Again, first play of the game, or first play of the series at that point, and he was targeted, he caught the ball, and he lost yards. So
timing is something, too.
But here's the thing. What Terry does not do a good enough job of, honestly, and I'm just going to be honest as I can, how many times have you seen Terry McLaurin make a catch and break tackles?
He normally does a decent job with it. Like, we saw it in the preseason on the hitch. If he catches it on a hitch and turns outside.
You think he does a really good job of it?
I think him running after the catch is like that's a strength of his. The first man normally doesn't bring Terry down. I would say that, Chris.
I kind of feel
this
like
year it has not been the case, though. But in years past, like, that's
different.
One of the areas he's, I think,
okay,
he's thrived.
I mean, maybe I'm just not remembering it.
And his ability to get vertical are his two best traits, in my opinion.
He's got 15 yards after the catch against Tampa, and he had 10 yards after the catch against the Giants. So 25 in two games, an average of, what is that, 12.5 per game? Again, I'm not saying he's terrible at it, but if Terry is not going to be run on primarily deeper routes, which he certainly was utilized in against Tampa, and they came up short, and one was definitively Jaden overthrowing a wide-open Terry. If you're going to use him on the screens, on the hitches, on the quick game stuff, on the horizontal passing game stuff, Terry's going to have to make somebody miss, because to your point overall, I don't think this team is good enough yet at blocking on the perimeter for that. Or, you know what, part of the job as a receiver, and maybe this is because – you know, Terry is not the biggest dude in the world, even though he's a tough SOB and he's a great leader and he's a great dude and all that stuff. Like, he's got to turn some of these quick game passes into mistakes for the defense. Again, we talked about Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers, it wasn't all by scheme. It wasn't all by, hey, we're just going to throw a 50-50 ball to Malik Nabers and have him out-athlete somebody. And you just say, well, that's Malik Nabers. Like it was Mike Evans against Ben St. Juste in week one. That's not what we're talking about here. To me, Terry, and I'll get you more numbers, Terry's got to take some of these quick hitch stuff, quick tunnel screen, quick screen, whatever you want to call them. And he slant in space.
Making the most of his opportunities.
Because he doesn't get enough opportunities.
I don't think he's doing that right now.
Okay. And
I can agree with that.
And maybe I'm rougher
on
him than I need.
More opportunities? Yeah, but I don't think it's on Cliff for him to get the opportunities. It's on Jaden. Jaden's the guy that ultimately determines where the football goes.
Right. So based on coverage, based on keys, based on whatever.
I do think we're pointing our finger in the wrong direction there. And it's not a criticism of Jaden at all. Right now, if I'm Jaden, does Terry have some superpower to where I need to be looking at him over other guys?
I mean, I would
or should
say,
I just be focusing on getting the ball to the open man?
I would say the superpower that Terry has is the combination of speed and ability to catch the ball, which he's pretty good at
situations.
That. Contested catches, and also I still think Terry is an above-average route runner.
Yeah.
Maybe even a good route runner. So he's got the combination that Diami Brown is still missing. Diami's got the speed.
Yeah.
Diami doesn't have anything else. Like, Diami didn't have the awareness to try and stay, even try and stay in bounds on the one lofted. Now, Jaden was a little bit late. I mean, a hair late on pulling the trigger. I got it. But Diami didn't even have really, it didn't look like on tape or live, any awareness of really what he was. Terry does have all that. So in because you can't dial that up on every play, every series, or all the time, you're going to have to play quick game or short game with Terry, and I need more out of him, not just this year, but I need more out of him in the past. There have been times where Terry has broken out of a tackle. There have been times where Terry has caught a ball with his back to the defender and spun out. I remember a 60-ish yard touchdown catch and run against Detroit, I want to say, in 2019 in his rookie year where he did that. Maybe it was his second year. I can't remember. The bottom line is Terry McLaurin needs to do more of that in the short, quick passing game, because if we're going to want him to be featured, if we're going to want him to be targeted, we can't expect them to just run nine routes or even deep post routes all the time to get Terry on track, because A, that's not what this offense is going to be built on. B, that's bad for Jaden because he's probably going to get hit or sacked.
And the longer he holds the ball, yeah.
The more diversified every receiver on your team can be, Linnell, the better off you're going to be, because then teams don't know how to kind of shade or attack or cover or patrol or pay extra attention to.
Sure, and I think ultimately that's on Terry to have that be to have that happen. But I am looking at him from a bigger picture standpoint too, when it comes to what he is asked to do. The blocking's got to be better. You're a captain and a leader on this team. I need you to play with great detail and not blocking and missing blocks and not being – I don't want to question the effort. Hold the man if you have to. He needs to be more physical. There's a lot of the time when Terry is the blocker where he is the nail, not the hammer. Like, and he's not a small – he's small height-wise because he's only, what, 6 foot? But Terry's got mass to him. So I expect more out of him in that category. Once again, though, 2 weeks into the season, the narrative on that can change drastically.
Correct.
Between now and the end of the Arizona game.
That's a bigger thing for you, and I don't disagree with you. It didn't jump out to me as much, but maybe I'm missing it. The yards after the catch per reception thing that I was talking about that, you know, just seems to not be like always there. Cumulatively, it is. I'm cutting Terry a little short. You were right. 356 yards after the catch last year.
Right.
Okay. Out of his just over 1,000 yards. So, you know, that's 4.5 yards after the catch per reception. 5.1 yards after the catch per reception in 2022, 396 yards overall. 313 in 2021, or 4.1 yards. He was really good at it in 2020. Ron's first year, Scott Turner's first year, 490, 5.6. So Terry's better than I'm giving him credit for. I guess what I just want is when I see, again, a bubble screen or a quick pass, first play, third quarter, I think it was a 9-9 game, maybe it was a 12-12 game, I need Terry to make somebody miss.
Make the first guy miss. That is how this stuff is effective. That is how it could be an extension of your running game and keep you ahead of the sticks. You've got to do the extra to get a guy to miss. And I expect that. Quite frankly, like when I'm watching the TV, we're doing the in-game show, me and Denton, and they throw this screen out to Terry, I'm disappointed that he doesn't make the first guy miss. It's a one-on-one tackle. You got to be able to make a guy miss in space to be a number one wide receiver, to be the highest paid player on the team. I expect that from you. I do. And it's the conversation we were having about Deron and John. He's simply, to me, hasn't done enough the first 2 weeks.
There's another problem with Terry that nobody seems to want to pay attention to, or if they do, they blame it on somebody else. We'll get to that next, plus more of your calls. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, good to have you with us as we approach 3 o'clock in the nation's capital. Why don't we try and squeeze in... you want to go to Paulie here before the top of the hour? Yeah, let's go to Paulie and say hello to our guy down on the 757. Paulie.
Hell to the W, man.
What up, Paulie?
It's definitely Win Bag Wednesday, man.
Yeah?
Both of your Bamas is crazy, man.
Both of those Bamas are crazy. Okay.
Let's start with Terry, man. All right. I'm gonna start backwards with Terry, man. I heard y'all crying the same crap about Terry last year, and a lot of you callers also, the same stuff about Terry, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, in full quarters, with a competent quarterback, Brissett getting the game, everything y'all said was just the opposite. He's getting separation. He got over 100 yards. He's getting downfield. He's scoring touchdowns. Yo, he is relying on the quarterback. All right, Russell, you just ran off your little stats, your numbers that you like to do. His best after catch was in 2020. Another competent quarterback, Alex Smith, who knows where to place the ball at on certain plays. Knows how you got to lead a player on a slant. Or it's like with the bubble screen with Jaden James. A lot of the passes on the bubble screen, the pass is behind, the pass is high. You got to lead the guy, too, when you go on these bubble screens. So now you're talking about you want to see him block. But he ain't no tackle. He's a receiver.
Man, if they're running quick game at the rate that they have, receivers got to block,
man. I listened to you talk for 3 hours, man. I ain't saying he's supposed to block.
It's only 2 hours, Paulie.
You gonna hold for him to hold a block for what, 3-4 seconds? That's not gonna happen. As a receiver, you're supposed to block, get in the way, or run your man off the play. What I'm saying is, this is all about cohesion with these bubble screens and all this other stuff, man. The whole point is, he needs a competent quarterback. Right? Is he an elite receiver? He might not be. But you ain't got to be an elite receiver.
He's getting paid like a ball.
He got paid in what? When he got paid, he was the seventh ranked receiver. Remember, he had to wait for all the guys ahead of him to get paid. So he got paid fair market value for what he did. And everybody was in agreement with it. Right, so don't make it seem like he broke the bank or we gave him the best receiver money. No, he got fair market value for the receivers that was ahead of him and the receivers that was behind him. He got fair market value for that, man. Y'all scorned. That's all it is. Now, let me tell you what. But, if Terry was going up against Mike Davis last week, I guarantee he would have over 100 yards too.
But Paulie, this is my thing. This is my thing with Terry. It's just because we are pointing out flaws in his game doesn't mean that I'm anti-Terry. It doesn't mean that I don't think Terry's a good football player.
Yeah, I didn't say you're anti-Terry. What I'm saying is y'all been crying the same stuff for the past.
It's not crying the same stuff when you're evaluating it after two different games that weren't in existence.
No, but you're saying the same thing.
Paulie, you think we say the same things every day, all day. I love you, but you're not paying attention.
Let me finish. I am paying attention. I've been paying attention to you for a long time, bro. Listen, my whole point is, listen, man, we ain't got two things that match. Ham, no burger. That's why nothing looks cohesive right now. When everything is cohesive and we get repetition going on, you'll see the middle of the season, that screen player look, that bubble player look good.
Let's see. Payne, that's a, let's see. That's a fair point. I gotta step in. I gotta run because we're up against the clock. I appreciate you. Paulie calls in all the time, so we'll let him finish up tomorrow. All right, we gotta take a timeout. 3 o'clock in the nation's capital and beyond on the Team 980. Hi, Anthony Haney. How are you? We will come back for more conversation about the wide receiver group as a whole. We still have Dumb Dumb of the Day and everything in between on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.